As I said in the first service, there you have your sermon. Thank you again. Beautiful, beautiful. If I were to invite you to take a Bible and open it halfway, you would land in the Psalms, which we call the hymnal of the Temple of Jerusalem, the temple where Jesus worshiped. So we are about to join in another musical rendition as I share one of the Psalms. Before I do that, I want to acknowledge that the entire book of Psalms, 150 songs in that hymnal, cover the whole range of human experience. Psalms of glory for creation, psalms of lament, why? Why have you forsaken me? We've had that psalm before us. Psalms of rest and peace and trust, psalms of acclamation for a king, psalms of anger and rage at injustice. And the last five psalms, beginning with the one that is before us today, complete the trajectory in a way that I think, how can I keep from singing and precious Lord do, which is, amid all the tumult and the strife, alleluia anyway. It's pure praise, pure thanksgiving to God for the gift of this life and all of its tumult and strife and all of its joy and euphoria. This is where we are as we encounter Psalm 145. All of human experience ends in thanksgiving, with the psalmist saying, and this version is the inclusive Bible version, and I'll just do the first five verses today. I will extol you, my God, the psalmist says. I will extol you. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great are you, Holy One, and greatly to be praised. Your greatness is unfathomable. Generation after generation praises your works and proclaims your mighty deeds. They will speak of the splendor of your glorious majesty. And I will meditate on your wondrous works. Amen. Another way of singing this psalm through a story from San Antonio. My dog and I, taking our Friday afternoon off, in a park in San Antonio, and peals of delight permeate the air around the pavilion. My dog, Aria, and I have stumbled onto a full-blown water balloon fight, the graduating senior class having their church picnic. Their senior picnic. They were really into it, this water balloon fight. Not a single person stayed dry. The jocks, the nerds, the teacher's pets. It didn't matter who you were. If you were a senior, you were soaked. When they ran out of water balloons, they moved on to water bottles and water fountains and water buckets. They found any way they could to just flat out pummel each other with water in their senior picnic bliss. I was jealous. I wanted in on the fun. So did my dog, Aria. She was jumping from puddle to puddle, lapping up the remnants, wagging her tail with joy the entire time. So we stroll up next to one of the teachers who was chaperoning the crowd to see if we could pass for teenagers. We couldn't. But the teacher talked to us anyway. She was laughing in part, but in part, she was a little disheartened. 4 years of stressing over lesson plans to prepare them for the global economy, she said. 4 years of writing stellar exams, sweating late into the night, grading papers. And all I have taught them boils down to this. It really was a sight to behold. All that water, all those tax dollars and teacher training hours running down the drain. And yet, if you think about it, isn't waiting in the whooping laughter of a water balloon fight what we would all rather be doing? On a late Friday afternoon, or even a Sunday morning. Instead of rushing through traffic, running for the train, frenetic, frantic from one more week of too much stress and not enough substance, wouldn't we all rather be wading in the water, whooping with joy? In our alternative reading this morning, our guest poet writes, "I didn't know I was grateful for such late autumn bent up cornfields, yellow in the after harvest sun. I didn't know I was grateful." We take it for granted, don't we, in our busyness. "I didn't know I would enter this music that translates the world back into dirt fields. How can I keep from singing? I get too busy to sing." End lonely days, the poet says. End the exiled and unraveling strangeness. And isn't that what those teenagers were doing that Friday afternoon in their water balloon fight? Isn't that what we all should be doing every day? Isn't that what the psalmist is doing as he commits himself to meditating on God's wondrous acts? We are so busy. We are so busy. Do we know how to be grateful? Do we know how to live in joy? I don't know about you, but I was brought up on a Protestant work ethic. We've talked a little bit about perfectionism in behind the scenes in our congregational life, and that is deep in our souls, deep in our consciousness, deep in our culture, and it drives us. It drives us so fast and for so long. What if our days really could be more like what those graduating seniors were doing with their water balloons and their peals of laughter? What if our days are actually supposed to be more like that? What if our true vocation as the people of God really is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as the founders of this nation declared? The pursuit of happiness, the attitude of gratitude is, as we say in this country, an unalienable right endowed by our Creator. So you could actually say this water balloon fight on a Friday afternoon was a good use of our tax dollars at work. Citizenship education. Would you believe that this pursuit of happiness, this attitude of gratitude, is far more enshrined in the Protestant conviction of what it means to be human than the Protestant work ethic? According to our tradition, according to the Presbyterian tradition, joy and laughter and frolicking in God's good creation are actually the entire point of human existence. Somehow we got these two things reversed. How many of you remember the Westminster Catechism? Anyone? Way back there in the day, way back there in the day. A couple of us. I don't. I never had to learn it. Of course, I grew up Methodist, but even my generation never had to memorize it. The Westminster Catechism, a long set of questions written in the 17th century about the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and children memorized this. And in fact, I think you had to recite it in order to be a pastor, something like that. We don't do that anymore, and I'm not saying we should resurrect this, but I do think we need to resurrect the first question, which is, anyone remember? What is the chief end of man? Okay, we're a little more gender inclusive now. So what is the purpose of humanity? What is the whole point of life? That's the first question of the Westminster Catechism, and the answer, I love this. This may be why I became a Presbyterian. The answer, the meaning of life, it's not 42, like they say in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The answer to the meaning of life is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. Glory, joy, delight, thanksgiving. This is the whole point of human existence. Where did we end up with all this drudgery? How in the world did we get there? The graduating senior class was preaching the word. My goodness. You've heard me preach my first Sunday here. I preached on the second chapter of Genesis. You'll hear me say this over and over. It's my favorite part of the Bible. Well, that's not true because I'll tell you next month a different favorite part of the Bible, but it's one of my favorites. One of my very favorites, the second chapter of Genesis. Yes, as Bruce Weigel says, it's as if I were a thing come from the dirt. In our story, that's exactly who we are. This beautiful creature of the earth and the water, the river of the water of life mixed together to form clay, and then here comes the very breath of God to make it a human and placed in a garden to play. Oh, that's the whole point of why we're here. And here's the thing. This is actually quite unique in the ancient Near East. In that time period, other creation stories are the ones that talk about humanity being created to work. It's the Sumerian culture that believes humanity is grunt labor for the gods, and that the lot of the human race really is to work ourselves into oblivion. Our scriptures say the exact opposite. Our job is to glorify and enjoy. That's our job. So here we are. On the cusp of Thanksgiving, on the cusp of Christmas, which can seem like drudgery, may I say? On the cusp of life, needing a reminder, may I suggest, of what the whole point really is. This is Thanksgiving Sunday. Do we know we're grateful? Can we remember that we're grateful? Can we splash in these waters of baptismal grace and say alleluia anyway? And truly celebrate this gift of life in almost all its tumult and strife, in all its joy and wonderment. That is our opportunity to extol our God with peals of delight, blessing God's name forever, meditating on God's wondrous works. Amen.